Lord, you're the creator once again, shall we? Father, we do want to thank you that we could be here tonight. We do pray for Carol. Ask, Lord, that you would just bring some comfort to her as she has been experiencing this pain. We praise you that the tests they've run do not indicate that there are any bones broken. Perhaps the pain comes from a lot of bruising. You know what the source is. Help them as they deal with this so much fluid that she has retained, that they might be able to get rid of that. And things would improve for her in the next couple of days. I ask, Lord, that you would give us understanding of your word. Pray that as we turn to it, these moments ahead, we want you to get all the glory. I thank you in your name. Andrew, let's call this one, how come there's so much evil? How come there's so much evil? In Matthew chapter 13, the Lord gave seven different parables regarding the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And in that second parable that he told, relax, we're not going to consider all seven of them this evening. But in that second parable that he told, we discover an interesting reference to growing things. Things that are growing. And in verses 24 through 30, we're going to find the actual parable. And then in verses 36 through 43, we'll look at the Lord's explanation. Let's look first of all at the parable in verses Matthew 13, beginning in verse 24. Another parable. Put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares or the weeds also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then have these tares come from? I'm modifying it just a little bit as we read that. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then, do you want us that we should go and gather them up, these weeds, these tares? He said, no, lest while you gather up the weeds or the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the weeds, the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. As we think about this, we see that the Lord told this parable beginning in verse 24. And he was talking about things concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the coming age, at the time the Lord was here on earth, things in the future, things that were going to happen. And we look at this and we ask ourselves, you know, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed this good seed, and then an enemy came and then sowed what was weeds. Shouldn't the Lord have done something about it? Let's notice verses 36 through 43, the explanation. 36, Jesus sent the multitude away, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Master, we don't understand it. Excuse me. We don't understand this. Tell us. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. We would say believers. Born again believers. That's who's represented by the good seed, the wheat. But the tares, those weeds, they're the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the parable, which was in verses 24 through 30, what did the servants of the man who planted the field suggest once they saw what was happening? What did the servants come and say to the farmer? In the parable. What? Let's pull them up. Let's get rid of these weeds. But the master of the household, who we learned in verse 37, is the Lord himself, states his decision. And you know what that was? Tolerate them. Leave them alone. Let them grow side by side with the good seed until harvest time, which is the day of judgment. Now, this does not imply that our Lord endorses or approves of the tares, the weeds. And in the Lord's explanation, the tares are the children of whom? The devil. They are the wicked ones. And the fact that he said, leave them alone, does not imply that our Lord approves of them. But it is the Lord's plan to let them grow side by side. Verse 41, we discover that these are things that offend him. and those that do iniquity. But it's his will to leave them growing side by side. Now, as we look at this, there's something interesting that I want us to just learn from this. Some of us might pose the question, isn't the Lord concerned or worried about crop failure if he just lets them grow side by side? How does he know that the weeds aren't going to choke out the good seed? He confidently speaks in verse 30 of gathering wheat into his barn. He confidently spoke in verse 43 of the righteous shining forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. There is no question whether the Lord will conquer in the end or not. How? How can he be so confident? Well, I'd like us to just give about five different answers and then we can go our way. As we think about this, we realize that a little bit later than this 13th chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, stated his purpose for this age. He stated his purpose. In Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall what? Not prevail against it. Let's not forget that. I think sometimes we as Christians living in this day and age in which we do, we get pretty concerned about all the evil around us, right? Are you comfortable with it? Sometimes perhaps we even say, how come the Lord is letting all of this flourish? He told his disciples in this parable while he was still on earth, before he ever went to heaven, what to expect in the future. The tares, the evil ones, the children of the evil one, the devil, are going to be growing up side by side with the sons of God. Next time we ask ourselves, how come there's so much evil in our world? The Lord said there was going to be. He initiated his program, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And along came the devil, and he has been faithfully doing his work ever since to disrupt, to destroy, to ruin God's work in this world. Couldn't God just
get all the wicked ones out of the world? Sure he could. And the day is going to come to the end when he's going to do that. But right now, it's his will that the evil and the good, the unsaved and the saved, grow up side by side. Number two, how does he know that he's going to conquer in the end? He stated his purpose, number one. But number two, he has defeated his enemy. He has defeated his enemy. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. 'For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, took part of the same. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter 1 says. He took on flesh and blood, just like you and I have. He took part of the same, that through death he might what? What's the next word in your Bible? Destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Not only was he successful in destroying the devil, but also to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we see, how can he be so sure? He has stated his purpose. He has defeated his enemy. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Referring to when he was nailed to that cross, when he gave his life for your sin and mine, he triumphed over the enemy through his death. So, he has defeated the enemy. He will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail or overcome it, win over it, and he's defeated the enemy. Number three, how does he know that the good seed, children of the Lord, children of God, are going to be able to withstand all that the enemy is producing? And how does he know that we're going to make it? I'll tell you how. Number three, he has prayed for our protection. He has prayed for our protection. John chapter 17, in his priestly prayer, this is, as I've told you many times before, this is the true Lord's Prayer. We often refer to our Father which art in heaven. That was a pattern of prayer. This is our Lord's Prayer recorded in John 17, when he was there in Gethsemane praying alone. And in verse 14 and 15, he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them, protect them from the evil. That's what the Lord has prayed ages ago for you and me. in this day and age in which we live, when we ask ourselves, how come there is so much evil? The Lord said it was going to be. But He has also prayed for your protection and mine in the midst of the evil. Isn't that an encouraging thought? It certainly is to me. How does He know that He's going to conquer in the end and how the end is going to turn out? Number four, He knows who are His. He knows who are His. The devil has been working overtime since our Lord returned to heaven, seeding the world with tares. Seeding the world with tares. I am told that this particular seed is referred to as a darnel seed, and that in its growing process, it is very difficult to distinguish the difference between a head of darnel and a head of wheat as it is growing. It's only when it reaches its maturity can the difference truly be seen. And as we think of this, what's your point, Pastor? A farmer could go out in that field and look at all of this green crop growing, and it would be very difficult for him to recognize what's weed, what's wheat. But not so with our Lord. As throughout this age, growing side by side are children of the devil and children of God. Don't ever forget that the Lord knows those who are His. 1 John 2. We've got to take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. We've got several references, and I want us to just look at these quickly. 1 John 2, 3 through 6, it tells us, if I was in John instead of Peter. And hereby do we know that we know Him, the Lord, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, I'm a Christian, and keepeth not His commandments, is a, what's your Bible say? Is a liar. Somebody says, but I'm a Christian. Do you obey God's word? Well, no. John, the apostle, says, then you're a liar. You don't know God. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he lives or abideth in him, it says that one ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Look at verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Look at chapter 3, look at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning.
Let me say at the outset here, especially in this third chapter, as we look at this word committeth, mark it in your minds what this word means is practices. Practices. He that practices sin is of the devil. The devil sins from the beginning for this purpose. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. Period. His seed, the Lord's seed, remains in him. He cannot practice sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest or made known. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. How are you going to know if this is really the Spirit of God in the life or testimony or works of this individual? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. Why are these things important? You know, I was just looking in my Bible. In the back of my Bible, I have a little tract that I picked up a number of years ago. Jehovah's Witnesses refuted. These are some of the main doctrines that the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe. One of them is they do not believe in the deity of Christ. That Christ is truly God. What did we just read in this? We saw here in verse 13, in verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Jehovah's Witnesses won't believe that. They won't confess that. That's just one of the areas that is so refuted and denied by them. Look at verse chapter 5, verse 1 of 1 John. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Well, our clock is past the bottom of the hour. Very quickly, let me give you that last point of the 5 points. How our Lord was so confident that the wheat is going to prevail and there will be a harvest at the end. Number 5, he has guaranteed our destiny. What we see in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us here in verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is a glorious verse. That is our confidence. That is our assurance of what's ahead. It's because our Lord has been raised from the dead. And you and I are going to be as well. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The Lord has guaranteed our destiny. The last two verses of that little epistle of Jude says this: now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Well, how come there's so much evil? It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's plan for this age. For the children of the devil and the children of God to grow up shoulder to shoulder, side by side. My prayer is that we will remain steadfast for the Lord. My prayer is that we will not buy into the things that the world has to offer, so that when people look at us, they're questioning, are they really a Christian or aren't they? My prayer is that we will always be recognizable as God's own children, the good seed that he's planted in the world. Something for us to think about, isn't it? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this portion of Scripture. Thank you for what we can see. I pray that you would help us to take part. Yeah, certainly it would be a lot easier if we didn't have so much evil around us. But it's your will for us to be the light of the world, a city that's set on the hill. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful to your purposes for us in these days in which we are living. We ask this for your glory. Now as we dismiss, I pray that you would bless the refreshments to our bodies good. May we enjoy the fellowship as we sit around, visit one with another for a few minutes, and enjoy what has been provided for us. In your name we pray. Amen.